Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 25, Who God Is, Who You Are. Enoch Paul delivered this message on June 3rd, 2018.
Hallelujah! Amen. Whatever you had this morning, I'd like to have some of that. Amen. Amen. All righty. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about identity, but more specifically about the mind. What are you thinking? Because what I've titled the sermon is Have Another Thought, Thinking with the New Mind. Thinking with a new mind. You are what you think. You are what you think. I think it's Proverbs 23:7 says, As a man thinketh, so is he. You know what? Sermon's over. Because you can go home. You can step out of that door, go wherever you're going, home, lunch, and you can think yourself into better situations, into success, into victory. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. Jesus made it so simple. We complicate it, but he made it very simple. So let me pray, and you pray that you will not hear from me, but that you would hear from the Holy Spirit, because this wind bag can only give you wind. But the Holy Spirit can give you deep insight and revelation that'll transform Amen. And renew your mind, and it'll make you much better, and we can get better and better and better all the days of our life. Yeah?
Amen.
Are you ready to learn today?
Yes. Amen.
Me too. Father, I thank you. You are so good. You're so wonderful. You're so kind to us that you do not scold us when we make a mistake, but you come to us, put your arms around us, love us, kiss us, dance with us, and say, be free, go, and be who you are. And I thank you so much that this is the call in our lives. We are called to be exactly who we are in Christ. So, Lord, we today want your word for us. We want to reject everything that the world tells us, everything that the world pronounces over us, everything that the world influences us, and everything that Satan speaks into our ears, and everything that our own flesh pronounces over us. We don't want to believe any of those. We want to believe who you think we are. And with that, we want to be in a renewed mind and walk in victory and freedom. So speak to us, Lord. Empty me totally. I ask that you would speak, Holy Spirit. Take over in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you a very quick synopsis. So this month, we are going to talk about a few things. So for each week, there will be a topic, and it's all about, and we discussed this during our conference, we are going to talk about the upgrade, the uplift, and the upright. Three words, and the upgrade, basically, today I'm going to talk about the upgrade. Upgrading your thought life. Upgrading who you are in your mind, in your mind. Number two, we are going to, Sarah's going to share next week. It is going to be the uplift, and it'll deal with intimacy and growing closer. What happens when you start thinking like Jesus? Then you start loving like Jesus and be loved by him. You are able to receive. Can I give you an insight? You know, John the Apostle, he's called the beloved apostle, you know, the disciple Jesus loved more. That's not true, actually. You know that, right? Because it says Jesus, he loved them till the end, you know, the upper room. He loved them. And Jesus is not going to say, I love Cheryl because she talks a lot about me. I'm not going to love Juanita because she doesn't barely talk about me. No, it's not like that. He loves everybody the same. But so why is John called the beloved disciple?
Because he said himself.
Yeah. He spoke it over himself. He had a revelation. And if you look through the Bible, Lord, you know, you just reminded, I just went on a tangent. I haven't even started my sermon. If you look through the Bible, you will see these Bible characters that get a revelation or something about God, and that transforms their mind. For example, for Moses, it was the glory. That's why he asked, show me your glory. And God says, I'm going to let all my goodness pass over you. For Paul, it was grace. My grace is sufficient. And they all kind of live in that shadow and exemplify and reflect God in that characteristics. So when we have a renewed mind and we see God in a different light, where we take off all the cobwebs, our own ideas and all of, oh, God is upset with me because I didn't read my Bible this morning. Who says so? Yeah, we form ideas. When we get that off, we can see God for who He is. And we will have a revelation that I call heavy revelation, that will transform and change your life, your lifestyle, and everybody around you. So this is what we're going to do. And the third topic would be upright. And somebody will talk about that. So I'm going to talk about the upgrading your mind. Let me start with a joke. Because, you know, I got to keep you all awake. In the middle of a wedding ceremony, a jewelry store owner who was getting married, you know, he was so excited, was exchanging rings with his soon-to-be spouse, you know, bride standing there. As he slipped the ring into her finger, he said, "With this ring, we guarantee a full refund if the customer is not completely satisfied." His sales pitch was so deeply ingrained in his mind that the words came out automatically. He wasn't thinking. We are here to renew our mind constantly. We're not going to do the same old defaulting. By the way, a lot of us default. You know what default is? We are accustomed to a habit. We are accustomed to a habit. We're driving. Somebody cuts us off. Ah! What happens? Oh, I shouldn't be doing that. We defaulted. Right? Somebody stole my purse. Oh, God, I'm going to pay my bill. Well, you have a Father in heaven. We're defaulting. What are we thinking? Oh, I can't pay my bills. Oh, I'm having pain. Maybe I have cancer. Church, you're defaulting, thinking the worst. Remember, we live in a default identity. And what we need to do is kick that default and look into, what are you saying, Lord? Because that's what I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it to the bank. I'm not going to receive anything that is not in Christ. So, first section that I'm talking about is we all have our own mind. We got to recognize that, right? Okay, so we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14 says, we're all very unique. No one is like you. By the way, there is only one Juanita. Yeah, one Lauren. There's just one of you. Can you imagine that? We are 7.6 billion people. Today's population. Well, there are so many billions who died, you know, right from the creation, you know, all the way to. But there's just one you. Even identical twins are two separate beings. The two, wirings, they have a soul. One can be different. They may look alike physically, but they are different emotionally. So you are unique. Did you know your fingerprint is unique? You don't even have the same fingerprint in all of your fingers. It's all unique. How unique is that? And I'll tell you, you are one in 500 million. Seriously, you are one in 500 million. According to science, oh, my kids are here. Oh, I don't know if I can share this. You know, when, you know, husband and wife come together, you know, the sperm goes towards the egg. One egg. 500 million sperms, and one of them gets in. If two get in, you get a twin, you know, and you know, so on and forth. So you literally are the one that actually swam ahead and got in there. How unique is that? Even before you came out, God said, that one. Angel, give him an extra kick. Give her an extra kick. I need that. I need that. You know, I've already thought about here. Jesus is wonderful because He never asks us to do anything that He hasn't done it. So He thought about in His imagination. I see that. Ooh, she's going to do this. She's going to preach. Oh, my goodness. Oh, God, she's going to be a doctor. Oh, she's going to be a housewife. Oh, she's going to bring a legacy. Oh, she's going to do this. And God says, that one, push it. Push it. 9 months later, baby comes out. Oh, you're so beautiful. Jesus says, oh, I know. When she's 25, oh, you better watch out. Well, you're coming in. Anyway, you are unique. We have abilities. We all have different abilities. Some people are good at some things. Some people are good at other things. You know, I am good at yakking around. But it's okay. God can use all things. And you know, I mean, once he used a donkey, you know, to help Baal. And I said, I'm ready, Lord, you know. So we all have different abilities. But what sets us apart from other creation, animals, you know, is we have the ability to think. Unfortunately, sometimes we really don't think the right things. Today we're going to take a look at them. The problem lies not in who we are or what we are, but what we think about who we are and what we are. So we are made up of body, soul, and spirit, right? So body is the shell. What you see is the shell. When you die, you leave the shell. You go up, right? The spirit is the life force. I believe when God breathed into Adam, he said, and he came and became life. The spirit of God came in and gave him life. That's why we cannot die. I'm not talking physically, spiritually, because once we're done, we go back and be one with God, because his life force is in us. And it's interesting, God had to just breathe once, and it's continuing, 7.6 billion as of today, and so many, maybe 10 billion people totally. But that life is in us. You are special. Did I mention that? You are special?
Amen.
Great. Just thought I'd slip in again. So we have the body. We have the spirit. In between is the soul, which I said is unique to you. Ellie is very different. Very different. There is no one like Ellie. No, there could be some other Ellie out there, but she might be wired differently. She might be wired differently. You know, Beth is here, different. Beth is calm. By the way, Beth, beautiful dress. I like that. Beth is wired differently. We all have different talents and gifts, and according to our wiring, we step out and excel in those things. The body is the shell, the spirit is the life force, and the soul is the will, mind, and emotions. So that's where our will, mind, and emotions dwell. So the will, mind, and emotions, which is the desires, your thoughts, and affections. I like chocolate ice cream. I mean, I like chocolate, period. And I think if you don't like chocolate, you need to get saved. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, something's wrong with you. What's wrong with you? Who doesn't like chocolate? So when in the office, I order, you know, a chocolate, I mean, cake for celebration, safety, and all of that. There's some like, don't get chocolate. I don't like it. It's like, you don't have to eat it. No, but I want to eat it. It's like, so, you know, I try to get, you know, something that's mixed up and all of that, half chocolate and all that. But who doesn't like chocolate? But that's me. I love to eat. I know I don't look like it, you know. I mean, but I love to eat. It's different. You know, when Tina and I got married, Tina was different. You mean different, you know? I mean, I come from India, you know? We eat everything, you know? We eat. I mean, as long as it's dead and cooked, we eat it. I remember, hey, I had fist bump from here. But she used to, hey, listen, she used to eat salads, you know? And it's just like a little bowl, you know? And I'm like, you know, in India, the cows eat grass. What you eating there, girl? She's different. Praise the Lord. She got saved after she got married. Now I converted her. It took a long time. Oh, God, I better stop. I'm going to trouble here. Where was I? We're all different. We have emotions. We have affections, likes, dislikes, preferences, thoughts, attitudes, desires, decisions, wirings. We're all differently wired. If you're married, you know there are two different people. And when you're not wired properly, you short circuit. You burn other people. Sparks fly. Not the good kind of sparks. The bad kind of sparks. Lord have mercy. Lord, what were you thinking when you brought Adam and Eve together? It's like, that's why he said, that woman did it, not me. We're all different. But guess what? The good thing is we can all be very alike because we all can share the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And that's what I'm going to talk about.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to talk about.
Yes.
Okay, I want to talk to you about your mind, your thoughts. If you can You know, the horses have those bridles and, you know, those things that hide blinders, yeah. If you can put your spiritual blinders upon your spiritual eyes, which comes from your thoughts, your mind, you can direct your path and you can do anything that you can think and say, Lord, if this is you, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take it to the bank. And you can do anything. I have done that in my life. You cannot believe how excited I am when I think about my life. 3 days back, I was having dinner, and I was looking up, you know, and I go in these conversations with the Lord, you know, I'm like chomping on my food, and I'm looking up, and I told Tina this, I am so glad I am who I am. I am me. Because once upon a time, I looked at myself, and I said, I am not like that person, I am not like that person. I'm not good enough. You know why? My mind was the old mindset, the old man, the dead cadaver. Remember? Do you remember last week's sermon? Yeah, the dead cadaver. But when and I got the mind of Christ, it changed, and I saw what Jesus was seeing. I said, wow, this guy is cool. He is awesome, handsome, dapper.
Amen.
I tell my wife, you're a blessed woman, you know that? You have no clue what you've got. You haven't even touched the iceberg here. And I'm not being braggadocious. Because that's what Jesus thinks about you. And I better have his thoughts. I'm not braggadocious. I know in my flesh, without his grace and his favor, I know. Only I know. And he knows. Hey, but I don't want to think about that. Because he's not thinking about that. I'm thinking about Enoch in Jesus, and he is fabulous. Hey, by the way, if you look at the Bible, and you can Google, you know, or whatever Bible app you have, type the word marvel or marvelous. Most of that words would come from the gospel about Jesus. Marvel, and they all marveled. Oh, they're all marvelous. Guess what? If he is in you, I think you might be a little on the border of marvelous, brilliant, expounding. You are just, woo! No wonder we are called a peculiar people. You are peculiar. You can do that too? That's what my man is. You can do that too? It's like, that's what I think, you know. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about your mind. It is very important to understand this area. Hallelujah. Because the right understanding of this area and walking in that will keep you fulfilled, keep you strong, keep you victorious in any and all circumstances. So by the way, you have to recognize there are three arenas that there's always spiritual battle. It doesn't happen any other place. Three arenas. It happens in the church, because the devil always wants to break, divide, you know, disrupt. So it happens in the church. And in the Bible we read, it happens in the heavenly places, right? Right? It's in the atmosphere. And that's why we declare what she was doing with her thing. She took that thing and she was declaring, telling in the spirit, the atmosphere, I am going to be prosperous because he says so. If he says it, it's happening. Mr. Devil, take your tail behind your legs. Get out in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not taking it. So that's the heavenly places. And the third area is your mind. If you can recognize that, you know exactly what his tactics is, the devil's tactics, and you can beat him every time. See, for lack of knowledge, for lack of vision, we all perish. And I just paraphrased it. For lack of this thought process, why is this happening to me? Any situation that comes in, why is this happening to me? You got to recognize, it's not flesh and blood, it's the devil. And he is operating in one of these areas, and I have to get the word in one of these areas. And so today I'm not going to talk about the heavenly places or the church. I'm going to talk exclusively about the mind, because if you get that, ooh, Lord have mercy. The location where Jesus was crucified, what was it called? Golgotha. What does Golgotha mean? Place of the... Why was Jesus crucified on Golgotha? I think there's some insight there. Heavy Revy, hey, you ready for this Heavy Revy? What he was dying to every thought and imagination in you, and he said, that's it, right here. I'm going to give a new identity. Devil, stop right there. But if we do not receive it, if we do not take it, wow, did he die in vain? Did he die just so he would give us new life and be like, it's like having a banana, you know, in your hand, but you are unable to peel it, or you don't know. I'm hungry. Eat it. I'm hungry. Eat it. I'm hungry. Peel it and eat it.
Amen.
All righty. If we are to be effective kingdom people, then we must learn warfare in the battlefield of our minds, our thought life. To defeat the devil, we must be renewed in our minds. Whew, let me go quickly. Lord have mercy. Rivka, I'm not going to disappoint you. I'm going to keep going. Second section. So we did the first section. We all have a mind. Second section, single-minded or double-minded, okay? Let me explain. You ready for another heavy, Revy? Every action is rooted in the thought that produced it. Every action is rooted in the thought that produced it. There's a reason we take every thought captive to obedience. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Right? We are asked to take every thought captive. There's a reason. If we don't take our thoughts captive to obedience to Christ, then we will be captive to that thought, whether good or bad. If a wrong thought comes into your mind, that is not what God would pronounce over you. For example, and I give the same old examples because I don't want to give too many examples. I want to be focused on the same thing. And I always talk about sickness, money, you know, all of that. And hey, we got a supernatural exercise towards the end, which will help you make it more practical. If for some reason you have, Kenneth Hagin had this experience. Remember, he had a heart condition when he was born. Right? And remember it was one of the books. He was going to preach and he was in somebody's home. You know, the next day he was going to preach and that night he had severe pain. Pain. And he's like, oh God, it's my heart. It felt like somebody was sitting on his chest. And guess what happened? A thought came. You're going to die. Remember that? What did he do? Does anybody remember? I read that. He told no, but he started laughing. That was his modus operandi. He started laughing. He said, I laughed for 10 minutes. And then the devil says, what you laughing about? He said, I'm laughing at you. And he laughed 5 more minutes. He said, what you laughing about? I'm laughing at you. Because my Lord said that by his stripes I was healed. So I don't have this to take this pain and get out in Jesus' name. He said the pain left like that. You know what he did? He took a thought captive. Now, most of us, I'm not saying, probably not in this church, outside. Most of us, we think the first thought that comes is a negative thought. I'm dying. Oh, this thing has come back. You know why sometimes we don't keep our healing? Because after we get healed, we allow a thought that is not from God, because God has already given us his thoughts. It's right here. Where's my Bible? That's right here. He's given us thoughts. We don't sit on it and dwell on it and anchor on it. We take the first negative thought and we start processing. I sometimes say, why in the world are you having a conversation with the devil? He's not welcome. I'm the husband of this house. Don't allow the devil. Hey, Eve shouldn't be talking with the serpent. She should be talking with Adam. Why are you having eyes on another man? Even though he doesn't have legs, you know? Quit talking to the devil. Because he's not coming to give you anything good. He's only coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Why in the world would you have somebody come and have a conversation with you? If I were you, I'd kick him right in the middle and say, get out.
Amen.
I don't like your face anyway.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Your thoughts are either going to make you or they're going to break you. Okay? They're going to advance you or retard your growth in the spirit. Wrong thinking is a precursor to wrong action. You know, I've heard people, you know, where they say, oh, you know, we ended up with a bad marriage and I ended up sleeping with my secretary, blah, blah, blah. Well, it didn't happen in a day. It didn't happen in a day. It's like one day you woke up, it's like, yeah, I'm going to cheat on my wife. Or I'm going to cheat on my husband. It didn't happen in a day. It started with a thought. My goodness. No wonder we are called to renew our mind. It is to cleanse. If you don't take a shower for a month, you have a different anointing. And you might think, why are they falling about? Oh my goodness, the Lord is with me. No, you're stinking. People are falling off left and right because you're stinking if you don't take a shower, right? Our minds are the same. If we don't renew it, we are constantly bombarded by news, media, thoughts, process. My goodness. But guess what? He has given you His mind. We conquer the outside thought process with what's inside. Because He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. So your thought process, it'll either make you grow or make you stunted. Remember that. You all heard, sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap your destiny. Who's ready to change that? Who's ready to change that? Because I want to be everything that He wants me to be. And if there's anything, every weight, I'm going to just keep putting down. He's going to show me and I'm just keep putting down. Amen? It all starts with your thoughts. A renewed and a transformed mind or a thought life will be evident through our language and actions. Language and actions. And every time I hear something, I'm always looking through the ends of, would Jesus think that? Is it a kingdom thought process? I always do that. And, you know, sometimes I'm a little too abrupt. I jump in. No. I don't receive it. No. I don't receive it. You remember Juanita? I'm 90%. He's like, No. It's not allowed. You are 100% healed. Think differently is the essence of repentance, right? What is repentance? I'm not going to do that anymore. That's an old life. I'm going to do this. Think different. Right? And then when we start thinking different, I'm going to start walking different. And when I'm starting to walk different, I have a different destination. And I have a different destiny. So, when I'm 50% sick, I said, no, that's not me, that's me. 60% healed. I'm going to keep walking. 70% healed. I'm 100% healed. I'm just walking towards the 100%. So my real me is there. 100%. But in the truth, that's the truth. In what is true. Yeah. No, well, true. I'll talk to you about it. Oh, another tangent here. The truth is, I'm healed. Amen. What is true is, I'm having some symptoms, but I'm walking towards that. If your thought process is anchored there, you ain't moving forward. You're like, hey, why am I not moving forward? Because you're something's pulling you. Yeah. Do you remember? You are 100% healed. That's what Jesus sees you as. But right now, what is true in the body, what is true as the doctor says, you have cancer, when he says that, what is true is, here's the report, what is true. But we don't live by what is true, because the truth will set you free. And what is the truth? By his stripes, I. If that is not true, please strike it out. Because most of us, and I'm not you, some of us, not in this church, we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Do you understand? So what do you do about the symptoms? I have symptoms, but I'm going to go by the truth. And I'm going to walk towards the truth. When I got healed of my pancreas, you know, the doctor said you had to get on insulin for the rest of your life. And I said, oh my goodness, I'm in the mid-30s. I cannot have this. It was a pronouncement of death. And the nurse came and said, go to the hospital, get education on this, your pancreas shutting down, get on insulin, move on. My wife and I said, is that true? Yeah. Is that the truth? Nope. 3 years, God said, I'm going to heal you in 3 years. Now, there's no cure for this, by the way. And in 3 years, I got off all medicines, everything. And for the last 6-7 years, hey man, you know what? I love to. Did I tell you that? I ate everything. And I enjoyed. I don't abuse my body. But I saw the truth. I went to church. I don't know if I've told you. I must bore you with this story. I went to church and a guy, and I told him the symptoms, and he was a nurse. And he said, oh, you're diabetic. Because the level of diabetes that I had at that time, the A1C test that they do, he said, you should be in a coma. I should have died. I said, I drove. At that time, I had just Johan. I said, my little kid and my wife, I drove. He said, doctor said, emergency room now. I just drove. He said, you should be in a coma. So what is true is there. But I don't want to dwell in there. I want to live by the truth. And God said, I'm going to heal you. I said, seriously? Yeah, because I'm the healer. You know that, right? And I said, you know what? I'm going to take it. So I went to the church. And so I was telling this to this gentleman, very nice guy, godly guy. And he was a nurse. You see, and there's nothing wrong against nurse. But I know of nurses and doctors who are so godly. When nothing works, they lay hands on the patients and they get healed. One doctor I know in Illinois, brilliant guy. Very godly guy. He raised a child from the dead. Emergency ER, bee bit him. He had an allergic reaction. Choke, phew, dead. He said, God, I don't know what to do. He said, told his father, I know one thing, I can pray. And the father was weeping. He says, go for it. Laid his hands and he said, in Jesus' name, phew, the child woke up. Now, so I'm not discrediting medical people or, you know, medicine. I'm not saying that. But this nurse guy, he said, you're diabetic. And I said, no. He said, no, you're diabetic. I said, no. Then he's like, oh, I'm in church. I believe with you, brother. I was like, no, you don't. I didn't say that. After church, I walked out and I heard the Spirit of the Lord very clearly. He said, don't share with anybody, even godly, good Christian people, if they don't have the faith. Because their mind, they believe it here or here. They don't have a revelation here. And God said, in 3 years. I said, why 3 years? Can it be 3 days? I want to go have my donuts, Walmart fried chicken. Oh, Lord, it was so good. Woo! And he said, no, because I'm going to teach you something that you will teach for the rest of your life. There'll be different people that bring in your life. I am the healed of the Lord. I don't care what disease you have. I don't care what condition you have. I don't care what situation, circumstances. If you can let your mind know that His word is the ultimate authority and you walk in it, you will go to that 100% that He sees. Lord, help me. I'm going to go.
Hallelujah. Woo. Good.
A renewed and transformed mind, a thought life, will be evident through our language and actions. So it has to be. So you have to stop yourself immediately. Oh, I think I'm catching a cold. Why in the world would you say that? You're catching nothing. You can catch the Holy Spirit and you can be joyful. But, you know, I have, my throat is, you don't open your mouth and speak out. What you confess will happen. Because Job said, what I feared came upon me. Why would you open your mouth and say things that are contrary to what the word says? Oh, help me, Lord. There's only one way to think. Think like Jesus.
Amen.
I want to have His thoughts so I can track with Him and what He's thinking because I have the mind of Christ. So the next time something happens, circumstances, situations, fill in the blanks, whatever situation, finances, I want to step back and say, Lord, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Because I want to have that thought. His thoughts for us are for good and not for disaster. You can take that to the bank. For a future and a hope. It's always hopeful. So I want to have that thought. Any situation. You could be dead. Somebody dead. What are your thoughts, Lord? Because you said greater things I'll do and you raise the dead. Should I lay my hands? Go for it. Boop! Raise the dead. Well, I'm not kidding you. Seriously, you could raise the dead. Because He said it. If He said it, that's good enough for me.
Amen.
I have the mind of Christ. What it means then is that whatever may come before me, good, bad, ugly, there's something tangible for me to receive and enjoy and be like Jesus. There's always something. I don't look at problems, because behind a problem, Jesus always parks a promise. And when you go to that promise, move aside your problem, you go to that promise, behind a promise is a provision. So, my alarm, time flew, hallelujah. Alrighty, what was I saying? When you come across a problem, don't sit and focus and meditate on the problem. Don't open your mouth and verbalize and give credibility to that problem. Am I saying ignore? No, I'm not saying ignore. Abraham looked at Sarah and he said, "You're an old woman." That's what the Bible says, because he considered her body as good as dead. I just put words that was in his mind. And he looked at himself in the mirror and he said, "I'm an old man." He did consider. Then he looked at the word. God is good. He's never failed. I'll go with that. He didn't park himself at the problem. He parked himself behind the promise. Hey, what promise has God given you? Remember this. If you forget everything that I said, remember this. When a problem comes, woohoo, it's party time! Do you remember last year Pastor preached, it's party time! Let's throw a party. You know why? Because whenever there is a problem, God says, I have a greater promise behind it. I'm just waiting you to go around it, get the promise. And when you come to the promise, there is always, always, always a provision. And the provision is greater than the problem. Did we get that? Let it sink into you. Let it sink into you. Let it get inside you. It doesn't matter what problem it is. Problems are party time things. You know, like, ooh, I'm going to have a party. The reason is, if there is a problem, God allowed it so I can get upgraded. Remember that? Upgrading. If you don't upgrade your computer, you know what happens? It dies. I don't want to die. I want to constantly get upgraded to a better level, to a better level, to better thought process, to better victory. And you know what? When you do that, you come to a place where you're hearing God clearly. This morning I was thinking, and I, since the last 2 days, have been thinking about, you know, I told you about the upgrade, the uplift, and the upright. I've been thinking, it's like, what was the second one? I did not get it till prayer time. And you know, I heard the Lord say, just love on me, because they were praying. Just love on me. Don't think about while you're praying. I'm thinking, oh, what was that, Lord? Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I agree with that. Oh, what was that, Lord? And he said, just love on me. Just dance with me a little while. I'll give it to you. And because my mind is renewed, I said, I know that he's going to give it to me. So I 100% let go. I 100% let go. I'm not going to focus on, what was that word? I need to say that. And I just was loving on him, and all of a sudden he whispers, pss, pss, uplift. Whoa, cool. I did a fist bump and climbed on him, you know, pulled his hair, came down. He said, she's going to almost finish her prayer. You better get down. I said, all righty, Lord. That happens. That really happens. That really happens. You know, once I was having my quiet time, and I was thinking, you know, I always harp about kingdom mindset here. You know why? Because I am a child of a king. I don't want to think his thoughts, you know? I want to think his thoughts. And as a kingdom mindset, I want to bring his kingdom, thy kingdom come. And so I want to have his mind so I can bring his kingdom through me. When we drive over here, we always pray, all my kids in the van. We want to lift people up. We want to encourage. We want to bring the kingdom out and bless people. We want to lift people up. And so we were doing that, you know. So I always think with a kingdom mindset. So I was praying one day, and in my quiet time, I had a thought, and I changed it to the kingdom thought. You know, it was a negative thought, and I changed it. I was like, no, I don't agree with that. And I heard the Spirit of God. Now, do you think Jesus is cool or what? He's the coolest thing, you know. And, you know, I heard, we're tracking, bro. I said, get away from me. Who are you? See, Jesus, can you talk like that? He said, yeah, I'm your bro. I'm your elder brother. And you're tracking with my mind. We're tracking, bro. I said, fist bump, Jesus. I like you. You're cool. You're cool. And I get these insights. And the reason I'm saying this is when you think differently, when you think like him, you can see his, you can hear his laughter. You can hear him giggle. His giggle is sweet, by the way. I'm not kidding you. Help me, Lord. Okay. Third section. So we did. We have a mind of our own. Second section, single-minded, double-minded. I'm going to run through. Help me, Lord. By his grace, I can do it. Let me go through some scriptures. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Gap attitude. You heard of the gap attitude? I wear gap jeans, you know. You remember that anytime you see a gap, good, acceptable, perfect. Poop, that's his will for me. Romans 12:2. That's Romans 12:2. Third scripture, Philippians 4:8. I'm just reading through scriptures. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, anything that is good and lovely, think on these things. That is all I am allowed to do. If it's not in line with Jesus, if it's not in line with his beauty, if it's not in line with his word, I ain't thinking it. I reject it. Philippians 4:8. With the right mindset, problems become possibilities. With the right mindset, irritations become opportunities. With the right mindset, roadblocks become stepping stones for success. With the right mindset, we don't succumb to the environment of the world. We bring the atmosphere of heaven down here in our situation. With the right mindset, impossibilities become possibilities. With the right mindset, we don't focus on our infractions. Oh, I'm not good enough because I just messed up. No, we don't want to think that. With the right mindset, we don't focus on our infractions. We focus on our improvements. With the right mindset, I don't see myself under pressure. I see myself under a promise. With the right mindset, I don't deal with problems. When Tina comes, you know, oh, honey, we have this. I don't deal with problems. I deal with provisions. So let me look at the promise behind that problem and get to the provision. That's exciting. It's an upgrade. I love that. With the right mindset, I don't have adversity. I have authority. I have authority. And you bet your last dollar I'm going to use the authority and dominion power given to me in Jesus to move the mountains in Jesus' name. With the right mindset, you will turn from being a pit of complaints to being a wellspring of compliments. With the right mindset, we will think in God and think with God. God wants to partner with you in your thought life. I don't want to think about God. We've thought about God. We've got the word. But I want to think in God and with God. So a question that you need to ask every time you come across any situation and in walking in a renewed mind is, what are you thinking, Lord? What do you think? I like when Tina calls me when I'm in the office. Honey, salmon is on sale. What do you think? I said, go for it. And I like that she bounces things off of me, and I bounce things off of her, you know. Honey, can I buy those grapes? Those look delicious. She's like, no, we already have a lot of fruit. What I'm trying to say is, think with God. He wants to come and be part of your thought life, collaborate with you. And he desires to. That's why he gave you the mind of Christ, because he ain't thinking like you. He doesn't want to have your mind. That's why he killed you off on the cross. You're dead in Christ. Woo! Take that mind off. There's my son. Hey, here's the mind of Christ. Hey, now we can track. We can think like each other. Amen. That's what he wants. Amen. Get back. With the right mindset, I have life and peace. Mindset on the flesh is what?
Death.
But if you have the life in the spirit, it is life and peace. My goodness, I want life and peace. I want that mindset. That's Romans 8, 5 and 6. Fourth section. My goodness, that section went so beautiful. By the way, Rivka, that second song that you played, what was that? Our Promise in Jesus. I was like, how did she know? How did she know? That was a perfect song for this sermon. Our promises in Jesus, our answers in Jesus. Fourth section. How do we walk in the renewed mind? Remember, you have the mind of Christ. Regardless what the devil says, regardless of how many infractions, your fallings, you know, you have to know you have the mind of Christ. So you do not have to go at it alone. Just borrow his thoughts and use it for your circumstances. That would be fun. We don't have money to buy food. All right, Lord, what do you think? And the first image that comes is like 5 loaves, 2 fish. Sweet deal. He's going to provide. He's going to provide. Hey, I've been through that. Where supernaturally, checks came and, you know, in my mailbox without a name. It's exciting. It is exciting. It is exciting. But who, okay, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So, that's one confirmation. You are one with him. What does this mean? He and I are united. We have the same thoughts. We have the same desires. We have the same direction, etc., etc. Fill in the blanks. He and I are one. We are united. Number two, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. What does this mean? He and I are partners. You know, he is so excited. He sits by your bedside while you're sleeping. And he's like, I'm ready when, you know, when Juanita gets up. And I'm excited to share this with Cheryl. My goodness. Oh, by the way, the scriptures that you sent to me the last 2-3 weeks, I'm thinking, does she have my sermon notes or what? I gotta watch. You know, it's like Elijah. Like, you know, the king said, you know, Elijah, he knows what you speak and think inside your bedroom. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, wow, we've got inside knowledge. If you were to be gambling, you would put all your chips in one click. Because I know I'm going to get this $1 million. He gives you inside information. You know, I use that. I know it's cheating. But in exams, I ask, Holy Spirit, I am not getting this. Seriously. And I feel bad for the others in the exam hall. Because they don't have that. Guess what? I like it. Nobody has to know this except you guys. But I know you are all nice people. You won't say anything. What does this mean? He and I are partners. Number three, Galatians 3, 27, 28. I am immersed into Christ and I have clothed myself with Christ. Colossians 3, 1 and 3. By the way, you can get the tape to get the scriptures. I have been raised with Christ. You know, all of this is saying one thing. He and I are one. He and you are one. Now, if that is the truth, I want to start thinking like him. I want to say, what are your thoughts? Because I want to take that and put it in me. Romans 6, 8 to 11. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. How many times?
Once
for all. But the life that he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What does this mean? I'm a dead man. Look at your neighbor and say, you look so dead. Seriously. Look at your neighbor and tell, you look so dead. Do you remember, I don't know, Jesse Duplantis. He was preaching in New Orleans or some city. And it was late at night. He had taken a walk and he, by mistake, took a wrong turn. Went into the wrong kind of the neighborhood. And the lady of the night came and propositioned to him. Here's the thing. All alone, nobody, and this lady comes and propositions. He looked at her, and this is a testimony he says. And he says, lady, I'm a dead man. And she's like, did you go to the doctor? He said, no, I like being dead. And she's like, oh, zombie. And he was saying that in a funny way. But that's the truth. I am dead man. I am dead to sin. I am dead to negativity. I am dead to problems. I am dead to sickness. And I am alive in Christ. I believe that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I am only vulnerable to everything that is in Jesus. If it is not in Christ, I'm not taking it.
Amen.
I am not taking it. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't move me. I move it. By the way, if you go after church, go to that refrigerator there in the kitchen. There's a sticker. Speak to the mountain. I'm a mountain mover.
Amen.
When I walk, Jesus says, walk here. I'm going to walk. And there's a mountain. You and me, you're moving.
Amen.
Right? Because that's what Jesus said you got to do. Move the mountain.
Amen.
You walk by, there's a sea. You and me, guess what? You're parting. Because I have the mind of Christ and I want to walk in that mind.
Yes.
We destroy arguments and imaginations and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. What does this mean? Every imagination, every thought will be weighed and be either accepted or rejected. That is your privilege, beloved. Jesus gave that to you. That's your honor. That's the thing you do. It is my honor, Lord, to search for that treasure and take it and use it. And Jesus is funny and he's wonderful. He hides those nuggets here and there. And he's like, warmer, warmer. And you're like, a little more of the spirit, a little more of the spirit. He's like, look down. And he's like, ha! There's an insight here that'll change my life. You take it. And what does he say? I am always constantly looking for that. We have to accept it or reject it. And you're going, and there's a thought process here. And he's like, cold, colder, step away. That's not my thought. Okay, I'm going to turn around and go a different direction. We have that privilege to either accept it or reject it. If you died, this is Colossians 2:20. If you have died with Christ to the spiritual forces of the world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its regulations? Rhetoric question. If you're died to the world, why are you accepting its dictates?
Right.
If it isn't in Christ, I don't want it.
Amen.
Last page. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. What does this mean? Taking on a new mindset is my choice. I'm pro-choice. I choose to follow Christ. I choose to have His mindset. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You be transformed. I've given you the power, I've given you the word, I've given you my spirit, I've given you the grace, I've given you favor. What else do you need? Oh, you want me? Okay, I'll die for you. You don't have to. What is your duty? I want to be renewed. I want to search His mind and make it mine. Jump-starting the new mind. What do you do? What do you do that by solving this riddle? And I'm going to give you a very quick riddle. If I tie a pig and a sheep with a rope, okay? And there's a fence in between. So they're pulling each other like a tug of war. Which one do you think would be the stronger animal? The pig? Sheep? The rest are still thinking. Sheep or fowls? Any more insights? If I had a candy, I would give you. Which one is the stronger? What if I starve the pig and feed the sheep every day? That is an insight. In our mind, there's a sheep and, you see the devil and the angel. You have a sheep and a pig. If you feed the pig, you're going to struggle because the pig is going to be stronger and the sheep's going to starve. By the way, you can only feed one. You can't feed negatives and positives. You can live in the Word and in the world. But if I feed the sheep, it'll get stronger and stronger and stronger, and it'll pull the pig, where one day you would have a completion in your thought process where some negative comes immediately. You're thinking, this way. Yeah? Okay. A pig and a sheep are tied together. You said that. Starving the pig and feeding the sheep. With our mind and a thought process, we got to do the same thing. So, who's ready for a practice? We'll practice this. Some practical. You want some practical?
Yes.
Alrighty. And actually, she stole from my sermon, did that this morning. So, I'm going to take one topic. Sickness. Can somebody give me something from the mind of Christ that talks about sickness? Okay? Go for it. Yeah, man. Sent word and healed. Oh, Lord, that's a good one. By His stripes we are healed. What was that? I am the Lord. Oh, God. I am. By the way, there's another heavy tangent. You like tangents? I'm a tangent guy. For every situation in your life. For every situation in your life. Every situation. Did I say every situation? For every situation in your life. This is a Revi. And I think he hid it inside his name. He is the great I am. You know why he didn't complete it? It's for you to fill up. If I'm sick, I am your. If I have needs, I am your. In the Word, there is a character trait or nature of God for every situation in your life. And God says, son, my daughter, I have given you a treasure. All you have to do is open it up, dig in, get it, use it, and give it to others. Give it to others. I am means I am everything to you that I am. You fill it up and receive it. Amen. By faith. So, that was a good one. What else? What other sickness? We are looking at the mind of Christ. Mind of Christ. Mind of Christ. Edith, do you have something? Hey, you know what? We can make our own scriptures. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Just kidding. Just kidding. Yes. Okay, Mark 11:24. Speak to the mountain. Yes. Hey, I'll take that to the bank. If it's in the Word, I'll take it to the bank. Speak to the mountain. Let me give you something. So that's how you do it. That's how you practically do it. That's how you renew your mind. You fill it with what God says. 5 minutes. 5 minutes, okay. Oh, you have something. You raised your hand. I thought there's a 5 minute. Be still. Be still. Don't be a flutter budget. Yes. No weapon for... My goodness, you know, you guys need to be preaching here. Sermon's over. You're already it. Yes. But of power, love, and a sound mind. Ooh, ooh. Oh, God, why didn't I mix that? If you're not getting spirit of fear, but of power, love, or sound mind, or self-discipline, or a renewed mind. The different versions. Amen. I studied that. Beautiful. I love that. Oh, you don't believe that? Strike it, please. Please strike it off your Bible. You don't believe it, right? No, we believe it. Amen. I'm going to take it to the bank. Yes. Faith works by love. Faith. Did you? Yeah. Faith works by love. And He loves me, so He's not going to give anything wrong. Let me give you some things here. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if I can believe, all things are possible, so I believe. 3 John 2, it is God's will that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Isaiah 40:31, as I wait upon the Lord, He renews my strength. I rise up like the eagles. I will run and not get weary. You will walk and not faint. Exodus 23:25, I am blessed coming in and going out. I am blessed in my body. I serve the Lord and He blesses my bread and water. And He takes sickness away from me, from the middle of me. Psalm 107:20, God sent His word and healed me and delivered me from all destruction. Exodus 15:26, He is the Lord that healed me. Proverbs 4:20-22, I attend to His word because God's word is life to me and healing to all my flesh. Isaiah 54:4-5, 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes I was healed. You know what? When you were born, you were already healed. I'm just going back to my original place. Psalm 138:8, God will perfect all things that concern me. Homework. Who wants homework? When you go home, hey, I love homework. Some of the best times I have is when I do homework in the Word. Look at riches. Look at wealth. Look at wisdom, favor, career. Hey, what about this? Rest. Amen. Oh my goodness, rest. And write down one page. You don't have to do more than one page. You do one page. And once you fill that up, fill up another page. And every morning, whatever situation is or the season you are in, put it in your window or, you know, the mirror. And loudly speak. You might wake up the rest of the house. They need to get up anyway. And loudly speak that. And say, this is what he declares over me. This is what I claim. I want to renew my mind. Okay? So what we will do now, we can break out in small groups. Rivka, is that good enough time for... Yeah. Small
groups. Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.